Hello everyone, my name is Ki and this is Metamorphoses. Last episode, Ayo got turned into a cow and her son made a friend and insulted his mother. That friend, Phaeton, then went on to find his father's house, his father being the son, to prove that he is really his father and his mother, Clymene, was not lying. That was the end of book one of Ovid's Metamorphoses, so this time we start book two. Think of it as a sort of second season. So in this new episode, and start of the new book, Phaeton finds the son's palace and asks for a peculiar gift as proof of his heritage. This is book 2, episode 1, Phaeton, please don't. Phaeton has arrived at his father's house, his father being the son. And apparently this house stands on pillars, like a lake house, but without the lake. This seems for no reason. It's made of gold and fiery copper and gleaming ivory, which seems very hard to look at. I'm getting a headache thinking about looking at it. The doors were made of silver, and the god Vulcan, god of fire and the forge, had chiseled the seas, the earth and the sky into them. On the door, in the sea part, some sea gods were pictured, and you better believe I'll tell you about all of them. The first was Triton, holding a sea conch. He was a son of Neptune, if you remember. I mentioned him in an earlier episode. Most of the time he's seen as a merman-esque creature, and also he's the father of Ariel in The Little Mermaid. That's fun. Then Proteus, who is called the Wizard in my translation, which sounds incredibly funny. He was a sea god who could tell the future, if you could catch him. He could change his form, and if a hero caught him, he would do everything possible to escape. You're holding a man, and boom, suddenly you're holding water or something. Hard to keep your grip on water. Also, Wikipedia tells me he was responsible for the seals of Neptune, which just sounds fun. Alright, next one is Aigaion, who is one of the Hecatonchires, who had 100 arms. Seems pretty inconvenient. Apparently he's riding on a whale or something. And then Doris and her daughters. Doris was a daughter of Oceanus and Tethys, two titans. She herself was married to Nereus, and with him she has 50 daughters, the Nereids. Among these daughters was Thetis, which is a different person from Tethys the titan and mother of Doris, who I just mentioned. It's written differently, but pronounced almost the same. Anyway, Thetis, daughter of Doris, was the mother of someone you might know. Achilles. Ring a bell? All the Nereids were swimming or sitting on sandbags or drying their hair, which was green. They rode on fish, and it's mentioned they look alike, but not too much. Good for them? On the earth part of the door, because remember, we're still just talking about something that's on the sun's door, people were pictured, and cities, forests, animals, nymphs, rivers, and other gods. And above everything, the 12 animal star signs, 6 on one door and 6 on the other. Phaeton enters the son's house. He still isn't sure this guy is actually his father. Apparently, the son's coincidentally at home, and Phaeton goes to him. But he has to stay a little bit away, because the sun is fucking bright. I wonder if Phaeton will get sunburned. The son is wearing a purple cloak, as one does when they're a god, I guess, and he's sitting on a throne made of emeralds. The purple cloak and green emerald throne seem to me a terrible colour clash, and even if the purple is more of a reddish colour, as was often the case in ancient times, that's just red and green. The sun's wearing Christmas colours. And then next to the Christmassy sun stand some other deities. The day, the month, the year, the centuries, and the hours. When I say the Romans had gods for everything, I really mean everything. The four seasons are there too. Spring has a flower crown. Summer was naked apparently, only carrying some grain stalks. Autumn was smeared in smashed grapes. The fashion choice is impeccable. And winter just has white hair. The sun looks at Phaeton, who seems a little scared, and straight up says, "What are you doing here, my son, my actual child?" He seems determined to make clear that Phaeton is his son. Then Phaeton, who's not satisfied with this, asks his father to give him some undeniable proof that he is his father. The son takes off his shining crown and asks Phaeton to come closer. The crown was either the source of the sun's light, or Phaeton will now really get sunburned, because the sun hugs him. The sun then says that Phaeton is truly his child, and his mother did not lie. To prove all this, the sun promises to give Phaeton anything he wants, and he promises on the river Styx to not break this oath. This will not go wrong at all. Phaeton, being a stupid kid, asks for the sun chariot. He wants to ride it for a day. The sun chariot is basically the sun. It rises each day in the east and goes all the way to the west, where it goes down again at the end of the day. The sun is immediately like, shit, I shouldn't have sworn upon the river Styx. He shakes his head and starts to tell Phaeton of all the ways this is a bad idea. He wishes he could take back his promise, because this is the only thing he would deny his son. He tries instead to warn Phaeton, because he cannot go back on his promise, and hopes that Phaeton will ask for something else. Phaeton is too young, and a human, and no human is capable of flying the sun chariot. Even other gods cannot fly the chariot. Only the sun himself can fly the sun chariot, and nobody else, even Jupiter, can't do this, and who is more powerful than him? When the sun chariot rises in the morning, it is a very steep ride. At the height of the journey, the immense distance to the earth sometimes makes the sun himself a little afraid. When he ends his flight in the water, he often almost crashes down. And then, the sky and the stars are constantly moving, and the sun is capable of navigating this maze. Phaeton, on the other hand, would not be able to navigate the sky without being dragged around with the turning of it. There are also monsters up there, and even if Phaeton could control the chariot and fly straight, he would still meet the bull, the archer, the lion, the scorpion and the crab, some of the 12 animal signs. And then there are the horses at the front of the chariot. They blow fire from their noses and mouth, and Phaeton would never be able to restrain them. The horses don't just spew fire, they also have a fiery temperament, and are sometimes difficult to control even for their master. Just, it's a chariot drawn by half-dragon horses, that's not very safe. The sun begs Phaeton to listen to him, so that this gift does not turn into a funeral gift. He is afraid for Phaeton, as his father. This alone is proof he is truly his child. He asks Phaeton to look into his eyes and see the truth, and look into his heart too and see his worries. And look around and choose something else as a gift. Anything is possible, anything on the earth, in the sea or the sky, but not the chariot, because that will not be a gift, it will be a punishment. Phaeton puts his arms around his father's neck, and the son once more asks him to reconsider his wish. He will get anything he wants, he swore on the river Styx, but please choose something else. Phaeton, however, really wants to fly the sun chariot. The sun brings Phaeton to the sun chariot, made by Vulcan. It was made of gold and silver and precious stones. It was, as a lot of things in the sun's palace, quite bright. Aurora, the goddess of the dawn, has already opened the purple gates in the rose hall, which sounds delightful. And Phaeton is admiring the chariot. The stars are going down, and the moon too. The world goes red in colour, and the sun commands the Horai to span the horses. They are the goddesses of the seasons. The goddesses go to the horses, who are eating ambrosia, food of the gods, as they put on the halters. They have to be careful, because the horses spew flames, you remember. Then the sun puts, and I'm not joking, sunscreen on Phaeton's face to protect him from the sun. He also gives Phaeton his crown and talks to him once again, with sadness in his words. Please listen to your father. Do not use the whip too much. Keep your strength for the reins. The horses run fast on their own. The trick is to get them to slow down. Do not go up too steeply. Go up slowly in a wide curve. Make sure you stick to the right route. You don't want to go to the South Pole or to Ursa Major, the Great Bear. You will see the tracks of past journeys. No idea how that works, by the way, seeing tracks in the sky. The chariot cannot go too low, and not too high, or you will burn either the people of the earth or the gods in the sky. Do not go too much to the right, because there lives the slithering serpent, a constellation. Too much to the left, and you find the altar, another constellation. You have to go in between the two. The sun prays to Fortuna, fate, and asks that she help Phaeton. The night has ended, and Aurora has ushered in the new dawn. Waiting any further is impossible. The sun gives his son the reins, and asks him one last time to not do this. It is still possible to change his mind. Phaeton has not yet left the ground. The son can do this himself, and Phaeton can avoid his terrible fate. Phaeton, who isn't really listening to his father, jumps into the chariot. He's extremely proud of himself and happy to hold the reins. He thanks his father, who despairs what is to come. We are again at the end of an episode. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Next time, Phaeton flies the sun chariot and it goes, predictably, less than well. You can find me on Twitter, at MetamorphosesK, or on Tumblr, at key-metamorphoses. Until next time, dear listeners, bye!